I hope you have your Bibles open here to Ephesians chapter 1. We've been studying through 1 John, and I laid off of it the last couple of weeks just so our people will all be back from the holidays. But what we began to do is that we began talking about last week and this week continue about the will of God, and I'm going to continue it next week, not on Sunday morning, but on Sunday evening. You know, one of the important factors in everything is my role. I know I'm in a God-given role, and it's a role that is vital, because preaching is to be about keeping you, the church, centered around the faith, the truth, one teaching. And it's a big role. Carrie and I talk about it often, our purpose here. And we're not here for popularity. We're not here for trying to ruffle anybody's feathers. We're here as men of God who are required by God to teach the truth. And if you find it where it bothers you in certain times, certain areas, you know, you need to examine your life. Why does it bother you? Because we're trying to the best of our ability to hold to the Word of God. One of the things that have come up, and I won't say recent, it's just some time, just comments here and there, things that Carrie and I both see and hear, that's this idea that God has His plan all worked out for your life. I hear people make comments from time and time that we're trying to find God's will in our life. The question is, does God have a personal plan for your life? Well, do you know there's two answers to that? Yes. In regard to this, the plan of God in your life is to get you to heaven. No. In regard to this, that if you believe that God has your life mapped out, and if you believe that God has your life mapped out, you've got some misinformation. Because what we're going to look at this morning is that God has everything mapped out in Jesus. In Jesus. And it's how we relate to Jesus in carrying out the will of God. If we begin here in Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Paul sees a need, inspired to evoke, God needs to be blessed. You know why? Because He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says. And being the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and being our God, you know what He did in Christ Jesus? And I want you to notice as we go down these verses, you pick up on the phrase, in Christ, in Him, things like that. You pay attention to it because it comes up every time. Every spiritual blessing that there is in Christ Jesus, and Paul knows that. And God has blessed everyone in Christ with every spiritual blessing. God has not blessed us with every physical blessing. We have something that no one else on earth can touch, and that's spiritual blessings. And you say, well, I'm not real sure what that is. Well, I'll tell you, if you spend time reading the Scriptures, you'll begin to realize spiritual blessings and what they are. And they are all put in Christ. There are no spiritual blessings outside of Jesus. God placed them all in Christ Jesus, And we've been blessed with those. We just need to start paying attention to see what that means. Well, continue on. Look at verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. He chose us in Him. Did you get that? In Him. In Jesus. God chose us. We are the elect. Before God ever created this world, before the foundation of the earth was ever laid, you know what God did? God already had a choosing in Jesus. And He said He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Him. This wasn't something that was on the spur of the moment thought. This was a plan of God. And what was God's plan? He chose us in Jesus, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. That's the plan. Before the world was ever laid, God said, "This is what my choosing is. I'm choosing you, every saint, in Jesus, to stand before me holy and blameless." And He's going to explain how in just a few moments. You see, for you and I to stand before God, and God worked this out, for you and I to stand before God holy and blameless, that tells me it's not about my performance nor your performance. It's about the performance of Jesus. It's about the choosing of God. It has everything to do in Him and not us. And so He chose us in Him to be holy and blameless from the foundation of the world. But that's not all. Look at the end of verse 4. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. In love, guess what He did? He said, in love, He predestined us. Big word. Now, if a person is a follower of John Calvin came up with the idea of predestination, is that God predetermines everybody's plan in their life, and that's why you got so many people running around today saying, God has a plan for you. No, the word predestined literally means to predetermine something. It means to mark something off in a boundary. You know, you and I, we want to build on an addition to your house. You know what you do? You go over and you get blueprints. You draw out the plans. That is a predestined addition. Well, you know what God did? In His love, He predestined you and I. He predetermined you and I that we would be adopted as sons, He says, through Jesus Christ to Himself. The adoption. We've been adopted. Yeah, we were children of someone else at one time. Children of the devil. And so God predetermined the plan. And He predestined you and I that we would be adopted to Himself through Jesus. That's the plan. And He did it all, He says, according to the kind intention of His will. Was it kind of God to do that for us? Wasn't it kind of God that He predetermined all of this? That we would stand before Him holy and blameless? Wasn't it kind of God that He would bless all, put all spiritual blessings in Jesus? Wasn't it kind of God to predetermine a plan that would make us in Jesus, that we would be His adopted children? It is the kindness that just oozed out of, you know, I want you to look at me. And so many times, where do we focus? We focus on us. Well, I wonder what God's got in mind for me. I wonder what God's got for my life. I wonder what God's got planned for me. I've planned it all. And he says it's in the sphere of Jesus Christ. It comes through Jesus that I'm adopted. It comes through Jesus that I'm holy and blameless. It comes through Jesus that I have every spiritual blessing. And that's how he proposed it. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. You know what all of this is for? You know why God predetermined all of this? He predestined it all. God's will was to do all of these things for us so that we might be to the praise of his grace. You see, it's all by the grace of God. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't deserve it. But yet in love, in the kindness of God, he said, that's the plan. And that's what's been carried out in Christ Jesus. And you and I, everybody wants to know what their purpose is in life. You know what your purpose is? To the praise of the glory of his grace. And by the way, his grace, he says, it was bestowed upon us in the beloved. You know where the grace of God comes to us from? It comes to us from Jesus. It's only in Jesus that the grace of God is there. And so he said he bestowed it, that grace, through Jesus. We need to praise God for his grace, shouldn't we? Don't we need to be praising God for what he's done and accomplished? And nothing that we did, it was all because of him. Look at verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace which he lavished on us. I want you to look at the end first. According to the riches of his grace which he lavished on us. The grace of, can you imagine something being lavished? I mean, I don't want you to have a little bit. I don't want you to barely get by in life. I mean, we're going to lavish, we're going to pour this thing on, we're going to, you know, soak down completely everything with my grace. And it's all in Jesus. And he says at the beginning in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. That's what his grace brought. His grace brought in him redemption. Maybe I need to say it this way. The grace of God that's freely forgiven, that grace is a redeeming grace. It's a grace that came at a ransom price. A ransom was paid for you and me. And that ransom, what was it? Through his blood. God brought us back to himself. He bought us through the ransom price. And he just lavished that grace even more. Notice what else he says. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood. It's a sacrificial grace. The grace of God will sacrifice for those of his children. Those that he planned for the beginning, that he chose to be in his son, that they could receive all these blessings. It's a sacrificial grace. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. It's a forgiving grace. Here's the scope of the grace of God. Here's the plan of God in saving us. And then he says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. The grace of God is wealthy. There is a richness there beyond anything. And you know what all of this grace of God has brought us? This redeeming, sacrificial, forgiving, rich grace? Look back at verse 4 again. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. This graciousness of God brought us before Him holy and blameless. You know how you stand before God this morning? You stand before God completely sinless. And that was the plan God worked out before the foundation of the world. This is what Jesus was going to accomplish. This is the will of God, that we should be holy and blameless, because redemption is in Jesus, forgiveness is in Jesus, the kindness is in Jesus. Everything was placed in Jesus. But continue on. Look at the end of verse 8 into 9. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him. Now I want you to look at verse 9 carefully. He made known the mystery of His will. The will of God is no longer a mystery. If you're looking for the will of God in your life, you've missed it. He said He has made known to us, the pronoun us. When you follow that pronoun back, us, you know who it is? It's the church. Only within the church, only within the body of Christ, has the mystery of His will been made known. It's nowhere else. That's why I talked about last week, the church is responsible for trying to reach and save the lost. It would do you well if you would get the lessons last week and listen to them. But you know what? The will of God was made known. It was a mystery. All the time back there in the Old Testament coming through, the will of God wasn't revealed fully. It was still this mystery hidden. And now Paul says, guess what? He's made known to us the mystery of His will. And He did it according to His kind intention. And notice he says at the end of verse 9, which He purposed in Jesus. It's all purposed. It's all purposed in Jesus. Verse 10. With a view to an administration suitable for the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things, and the things on the earth. That looks a little bit confusing. What are we talking about? Well, let's take it together. Everything God did, He said He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of times. You know what God was looking at? He had a view in mind. He had a view when all of this was going to be revealed, when all of this was going to be explained, it was going to be at the fullness of time, at the right time. God was going to do this. That's what Ephesians 5:6 tells us. At the right time, Christ died. It was the fullness of time. It was the time for everything to come together. And God said, my administration, my rule, my laws, the things that I'm going to put in place are going to come just at the right time, and we're going to sum up everything, he says in verse 10, in Christ Jesus. It's all going to be summed up. It's all going to be full. It's all going to be filled in Christ Jesus. And He came at the fullness of time, the right time. And God was looking at the right time that He determined everything from way back here and brought it forward. You see, God revealed His will. God's revealed His purpose. And everything is fulfilled in Jesus. And at the right time, Christ dies. At the right time, when Christ dies, buries, and raises, you and I are going to have a part in that. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. Verse 11. Into verse 10, into 11. In Him also we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Also, we've obtained an inheritance. I mean, when you go back and you look at this is incredible teaching. Now, the preaching may not be, But the words are incredible that what we have. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. We've been brought holy and blameless before Him in Christ. We've been adopted because of Christ. You and I have been, this grace has been lavished on us, and we have redemption. We have forgiveness through Christ, because of Christ. We have everything summed up and brought to its full respect that God wanted in Christ. It was the right time. And now, as a result, we have an inheritance because of Christ, because He predestined according to His purpose. He predetermined it, who works all things after the counsel of His will. He works all things after the counsel of His will. And what was the counsel of His will? In Christ Jesus. And He's still working everything in Christ Jesus. There's nothing new to discover. There's not a new path to go. There's not this seeking God's plan for your life. God has planned it and predestined it according to His purpose. And He works it all out according to His will. For one thing, verse 12, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. We, where's our hope? In Christ. And should this be the end result of everything God's accomplished? To the praise of His glory? Should praise be the driving force of our lives? Do you know it's the second time He said it? That's our part. I mean, does anybody in here want to dishonor God? Do you want to practice things? Do you want to do things that shame God? Or do you want to be to the praise of His glory? Shouldn't that what we ought to shoot for? Isn't that our aim? And I'll deal with that a little bit more next week. Well, verse 13. Here's where it all began. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. There is where it began for you and me. Listening to the message of truth. There has to be a message spoken. There has to be a message taught. And that message has to be truth. And He ties it to the gospel of your salvation. The gospel that brought you to Jesus. That Jesus died for your sins. He was buried and He was resurrected. Did you not believe that when you came to be baptized into Christ? Was that something you put your faith in? That you heard this message, this truth, this gospel, and you said, I want to be in Jesus. And you were immersed into Christ, into water? And He says at the end of verse 13, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. We know from Acts 2:38, being baptized into Christ is when one receives the Holy Spirit. You know what happened when you believed that message? You know what happened when you responded to the gospel of your salvation? He says in verse 13, you were sealed with Him, Jesus. Through the Spirit, Holy Spirit of promise. When you seal something, there's three things going to happen. Number one, when something is sealed, it's secure. You know, if you have a document, and you seal it. It's secure. Number two, whenever a stamp is put on that seal, that reveals ownership. Who possesses it? And number three, it tells us that the transaction, whatever is sealed, whoever owns it's going to be finished. Well, here you and I are. We've got all of these things in Christ Jesus that God predetermined, that God's will accomplished. And we listen to a message. We believe that message. And God says, I'm sealing you, I own you, and I'm going to finish what I started with you through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is that seal. And He says in verse 14, who is given to us as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. The Spirit of God was given to us as a guarantee. He's our guarantee. He is our guarantee. He is a pledge. He is earnest money. He's the down payment that was made for our inheritance. And didn't He just tell us that we've obtained an inheritance? And we've obtained that inheritance in Jesus, and God worked it all out, and God said the moment that you came up out of that grave in faith, that God put that seal upon you, and that seal was the Holy Spirit, and now God said, that's my down payment, that's the pledge, I'm going to finish this transaction with you, and I'm bringing you to Me. You've got it. It's your inheritance. Because you see, I'm going to redeem My possession. And My possession are those who are in My Son. Because all of the will of God was placed in Jesus. All of the predetermined things are in Jesus. And it is absolutely crazy why any of us would look anywhere else. When you struggle, where do you look? Look to Jesus. Whenever you feel your faith faltering, look to Jesus. Whenever you're going through daily in life, why don't you be to the praise of His glory? He worked it all out. God's will has been revealed through Christ Jesus. And God planned it. He brought it about, and He's going to complete every single thing He said about you and me. The only question is, do I believe it? Am I one that will be to the praise of His glory? It's all been worked out. I just need to follow the will of God. And again, we'll look at that. So I wanted you to see this morning, there's nothing new coming. There's not a map of your life. Jesus was the map. And Jesus determines everything. And God put it right there. Look no further than Jesus.